So I realize I can't not talk about it. I have a bunch of these in the can. You know, we run a pretty, all things considered, we ran a pretty efficient ship. And so when news like this breaks and you've already got a bunch of content in the pipeline, sometimes it can be hard to switch gears. But not for long, right? That won't be a problem much longer anymore. Anyway, so it would have been very easy for me to just throw in one of the other episodes that I've already done. But I feel like that would be unfair to everybody who's tuning in to hear what I have to say about Rooster Teeth ending. Allow me to disappoint you. I can't not address it, but I also can't bring myself to really talk about it. And I honestly don't know. I don't know when I'll be able to. The last 21 years, really, honestly, the last 25 years have been a creative journey that has completely and totally changed the course of my life and the lives of a lot of other people. The last 21 years of Rooster Teeth specifically, I said 25 earlier because this began with Bernie and Gus years before. We did Rooster Teeth, Red versus Blue was like the third or fourth project we did together at that point. So if I look back at the beginning of the journey of Gus and I and Bernie and Matt plugging away on stuff, it began a lot earlier than Rooster Teeth. We had to have those early projects to get to the point where we could make a Rooster Teeth, right? Where we could come up with a Red versus Blue. And so in my head, it really is like a quarter of a century of my life. I'm 48, and 25 years out of 48 is a lot. It's most of everything that's ever happened to me of consequence. It's the last 21 years, specifically, speaking about this Rooster Teeth journey, has encompassed and been comprised of the absolute best moments of my life, and also the absolute lowest points and worst moments of my life. And in the middle of all that, I grew up and I had a child, and I had two children because I had Rooster Teeth. I made a million friends and coworkers and family members, and we created a community, you, that supported us along the way and helped us do it in this, what always felt like to me, symbiotic relationship. And I don't know how to unpack that. I really don't. I don't know how long it's going to take me. You know, a couple of episodes in, I talked about how getting sober affected me on a personal level. That was the first time I'd opened up about that outside of my therapist. It took me probably 6 years to get comfortable enough to be able to, not even comfortable enough, just to have enough distance and perspective to be able to understand and articulate the feelings and the emotions and the impulses and the things that I went through, right? And I say that to say, I don't know when I'll be able to do that for the last 21 years of Rooster Teeth, if ever. I'm also, things are a little wild here at Rooster Teeth, as I'm sure you can imagine. And so I don't have a ton of time, and we're trying to get these last weeks of episodes cranked out as best we can. So I say all that to say that I'm not going to edit this episode. This is just going to be a raw recording. So I apologize for my foibles and my missteps and the dumb moments where I put my foot in my mouth or say the wrong thing. I just feel like this should be an honest expression, and I don't really, if I start editing it, I'll be lost in the rabbit hole of trying to get it perfectly. And then I don't have the time or the energy or honestly, the desire to affect the message in that way. I'd rather just speak from the heart and be honest. And so with that said, and I realize I'm 5 minutes into this and I've kind of been talking about it, but I'm not really. I'm kind of talking around it. I'll say this. I was on TikTok Yesterday, maybe. And my daughter, Millie, had a TikTok that came up that I didn't know she'd made. She's 18 now, and she's a grown-up, an adult human being. And she made a TikTok that, fuck, man, it kind of broke me. It was her thank you to Rooster Teeth for her weird and wild childhood. And it was just pictures of her growing up in and around the place. And it was really sweet and beautiful and a poignant TikTok, if such words can be used to describe a TikTok. But it really struck me watching Rooster Teeth and Millie grow up in equal measure is something I didn't realize I was doing. And looking back, something about that TikTok, something about seeing those key moments in Millie's life and watching her age and thinking about the things that were going on in the company at the same time that she was growing up and realizing that we were all growing up together and this other child I had, Rooster Teeth, was right alongside her. And they're both growing and changing and in wonderful and unexpected ways. Like, I don't know if any of you are parents, and I don't know, I mean, I think every parental journey is probably unique and different in a million different ways, but I think some things that hold true, and if you are a parent, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you're not, someday, if you want to, I hope you get to understand this. Your kid is born, you bring it home. Your only goal in life is to protect and nurture and safeguard that precious little soul, right? That's what it's like at first. That's what it was like for Rooster Teeth at first for me. And then at some point, that's your whole world, right? Protect this thing. Keep it safe. Keep it healthy. And it becomes all-encompassing and all-consuming in your life. But then, as they grow and they start to make noises and do things like walk, crawl, then walk, run, figure out toys and games and learn to speak, it becomes something different. This idea that you have to protect them at all costs, that's still there, but it becomes like the backdrop. Like, you're so used to doing it at that point that it becomes the base of what the relationship is going to become. It's really weird because at the beginning, it's all you can think about. And then you get used to doing it. You get good at it. You get comfortable with it. And then the child is growing and changing constantly and becoming more complicated and elaborate. And suddenly, this protection thing, it just becomes the floor of what you do. It's the least of what you do. And I don't mean to say that it becomes less important. It's just it becomes the foundation of everything else you do. And as the person becomes a person, a toddler, and they develop tastes and likes and dislikes, it's fascinating and it becomes more complicated. And that much the same was true for Rooster Teeth as it grew. And I became used to the idea of keeping it safe. And then it started to grow and change in unexpected ways. And that was fascinating. And then at some point, your kid just speaks. They just talk. And then at that point, they can have conversations. And when you can have conversations, they become opinionated. And that's this whole other level where you're now getting to watch them become the person they're destined to become, right? I definitely felt that at Rooster Teeth. I definitely got to a point where you get to a point where you realize that this is another person with its own interests and passions and desires and likes and dislikes and loves and hates. And no matter how much you want to impart your wisdom or ideas or interests onto that person, it's up to them to figure out who the fuck they want to be, and you can gently guide, but they're going to become the person they want to be. And Rooster Teeth was definitely mirroring that at the time that my daughter was. And then at some point, you turn around, and this thing this human, this person, is all grown up. And they're in many ways just as grown up as you are. And they can, you'll be very surprised the first time your adult child comforts you in a way that feels like another adult peer comforting you and not your child. I don't know how to describe it. It's a wild feeling when you realize that this person that I've spent the last 18 years raising and growing and nurturing and protecting and caring for is now, like, now this is the point where they can turn around and do it for you. And that's a wild moment. And it's weird to think that that's where I am right now. I have a daughter who's going off to college who I couldn't be more proud of. And I have this other kid, Rooster Teeth, who I guess is a deadbeat, who isn't going off to college. It's just weird to see the different trajectories for the two things that I loved so much that grew up together. And I didn't realize it at the time that they were growing up together. I may have said that a few times, like, I got two kids, Rooster Teeth, Millie, Rooster Teeth. But I didn't feel it in the way that I understand it now. And that's the problem with perspective, right? Is the more you have, the more you glean and understand. Sometimes the more confusing shit can be. And I don't have nearly enough perspective to look or to be able to articulate the very raw, complicated emotions that I have, both good and bad, about the end of Rooster Teeth. I can tell you that there are a tremendous group of talented, passionate people that are all now entering into the world to look for their next chapter and their next phase. And I can tell you that I will do everything in my power to help them succeed, and I hope you will too, because they're all truly remarkable people. And I hope that each and every one of them finds the success that I've been fortunate enough to find in my life. And, you know, there's a lot of questions about the future of where things are going. I'll just be frank with you. My priorities in this order are face, Anma, and this podcast, So All Right. It is in many ways the hardest thing I do, even though I do it by myself. And while I find it to be very rewarding, getting to spend time with Gus and Eric, or getting to spend time with the Face crew is far more important to me. And so that's the order of importance I'm moving forward with to figure out what the next chapters are in my life. So to say, I want to continue this podcast, and I hope I do, and I suspect I will, but it may take a backseat to Anma and Face as I try to figure out how to keep those going in some form, as we all try to figure out how to keep those going in some form. And we will. Rest assured, we will. I guess that's about what I can say. I guess that's about what I have in me to say. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little lost and exhausted, but also incredibly energized and ready to tackle the next adventure, I guess. Unfortunately, we're in a bit of a waiting period as Rooster Teeth winds up, and, you know, we have to see that through and do it properly and be fair to Rooster Teeth and the memory of it. We can't abandon ship and jettison and then go start new shit immediately. I just don't think that's the right way to do it. I think Rooster Teeth deserves better. I think you guys deserve better. And so we're going to see this through to the end, and then we'll have another conversation about where things go. Oh God, I've had so many conversations with myself about this. I've been so all over the fence and all over the map. And yesterday I decided I needed a bike ride. I was just like vibrating. I had so much nervous energy, and I was just like nauseous and feeling hopeful and terrified in equal measure. And so I went for a bike ride. It always kind of grounds me. And I was kind of wishing that I was religious or that I believed in astrology or tarot or something in a way that I could glean some kind of insight from it. And I was laughing that I wish I understood tarot enough so I could give myself an own one of those like three card readings. I think it's like your, I don't even if I said it, it would be wrong. But you know, you can do like a full reading where it looks like a clock, or you can do a quick reading with like three cards that are pulled. I think it's like past, present, future, or I don't know, home, heart, brain. I don't know. But you're supposed to glean something from those three cards. And so I thought, what if I do that with music, right? Like, music is the most important thing to me in terms of mood stabilization and working through shit. And so I put my playlist on random and I said, I'm going to pay special attention to the next three songs that I listen to. And that'll be my message. Maybe. Let's see. It could be stupid, but let's see what I can glean from these next three songs. And just to put it in perspective, I just have one playlist I listen to. It's on Spotify. It's under my name. It's called Now. It's just whatever I'm listening to. And it's got about 450 songs on it. So there's a lot of variety. I have no idea what to expect. A lot of stuff that is on there I haven't heard yet because I'm constantly adding and removing stuff. So this is an ad to help support the podcast. Get ready for the season ahead with quality shades built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with premium polarized shades that won't break the bank. They are an independent sunglass company that offers a world-class product rated 5 stars by more than 300,000 people. They have hundreds of options to choose from, so you are bound to find the perfect pair to match your style. I like to wear them when I ride my bicycles. It's bright in Texas. You don't want to go outside without shades, trust me. Plus, if they ever go missing or they take an unexpected hit, do not sweat it. They have the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair is backed by a lost or broken replacement policy. And if you don't love your shades, exchange them for a new pair or return worry-free within 30 days. There is no risk when you shop because their team always has your back with personal and fast support. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their very best deal. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code ALRIGHT24, that's ALRIGHT24, for 35% off polarized sunglasses and snow goggles. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by more than 250,000 people. Well, it's March in Texas now, which means it's almost summer. So I'm back on my bicycle, and when I hit the trails, I like to take my everyday Raycon earbuds with me. They offer an amazing quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. And if you don't believe me, look at their tens of thousands of 5-star reviews. They have optimized gel tips and are designed to fit comfortably in your ears to actually stay there, which is true. When I'm bumping around on the trails in Austin, they do not fall out. And they have 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life, which is way longer than the battery on my e-bike. So there's zero chance that I'll ever run out of Raycon batteries when I'm out riding. They also have noise isolation, but more importantly, an awareness mode, which helps when you're out in public. So go to buyraycon.com/allright today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/allright. That's ALRIGHT. buyraycon.com/allright. All right. So the first song that popped up was by Clowncore, which if you've listened to the Face podcast, you know, is a very silly, irreverent band that started on TikTok. That's insane. That is like clown jazz hardcore would be kind of how I would describe it. It's all over the map. And I don't know the names of the songs. I don't know the name of any song. I don't know about you. When I was growing up, when we had physical media, you would buy a record or you would buy a CD and you would go home and you would listen to it in your Discman or your record player or whatever. And then you would open up the booklet and you would look at the liner notes and you would study them. All the lyrics were there. Information about the band was there. Pictures were there. And it was a very important companion to the music, I really thought. Like it really added to the experience. And now that we have technology and we no longer have physical media and I have access to essentially the recorded history of music in the world via Spotify, it's completely and totally changed the way we absorb and listen to music, at least in my personal life. So this, and one of those ways is I don't know shit about shit anymore, right? So this Clown Corps song comes on, and it's real poppy and kind of jazzy and upbeat, and it's silly. Most of their stuff is silly, and I'm just listening to it and enjoying it, and it kind of picked me up a little bit, honestly. Made me laugh and chuckle a little bit to myself. I was remembering the Clown Corps concert I went to where they played in the porta potty, and they were just like, they had all the morphed penises around, and it was just fucking wild. And I'm just kind of riding my bike and laughing around Town Lake. By the way, it's South By right now, so there's like 300,000 people around Austin getting drunk and trying to find live music, and so everything is packed, even the hike and bike trail. So I'm riding around Town Lake just kind of laughing and dodging people and listening to this. And I think, oh, I don't know what the name of this song is. I should look it up. So I look it on my phone, and the name of this song, and this is what got me, is Infinite Realm of Incomprehensible Suffering. That struck me when I heard that. Then the song was over, and the next song was a Shannon and the Clams song, which... I kind of took the Clown Corps to be my past, and the middle song to be my present, which was Shannon and the Clams, and the song is called Flowers Will Return, and I'll just read the lyrics to you. In my mouth is a hard word to say. I can identify with that. Tangled in a strange old way. Shake me just one more time. You know I can't do anything but try. I definitely... identified with that. And then the chorus, which really fucked me up, is I want you to learn that flowers will return if you just give it time. And man, I needed to hear that. That kind of floored me that I heard that. And kind of kicked me right in the stomach. And man, that felt really important to hear, and from probably my favorite band right now too. And there's only like, I only have like three or four out of the 450 songs on this playlist are Shannon and the Clams. I've been listening to a lot of other stuff that's not them lately, and so that, I don't know, man, that felt like it's something that the universe wanted me to hear, and so I paid attention. And then the third song that played, which I considered, I was thinking this would probably be my future, right? It's the song by the band called The Lillingtons. It's a punk rock band, kind of a Ramones clone. One of the Mash Giorgini produced bands. They all kind of have the same poppy punk sound. He's a real good producer. They make real good music. Lillingtons, I really, really like their album Back Channel Broadcast. But this is off an album called Death by Television. I don't know it as well. I had just thrown some songs on. And this one I'm not super familiar with, but it's called, and I guess this is my future, I Need Some Brain Damage. And the lyrics are, don't want to wake up at 6:15, don't want to go to work at the Dairy Queen, don't want to watch TV, don't want to read, there's only one thing that I really need, I need some brain damage, and I need it fast. Beat me till you put me in a body cast, there's only one thing that I really need, baby, give me bruises, make me bleed. I'm feeling unsituated, ain't that the truth? I'm going to beat my head against the wall. Ain't that the truth? Till my brain has become inflated and I can't even think at all. I'm feeling sort of agitated. Give me some assault and battery. Now I need medicated. Now I need surgery so I don't swallow my tongue. And that's a pretty dark, those are some pretty dark lyrics, but if you listen to the song, it is a very upbeat, very tongue-in-cheek, very like teenage lobotomy, Ramones, 24 hours to go, I want to be sedated kind of vibe. And it was also exactly what I needed to hear, and very tongue-in-cheek how I feel. And reminded me, the message I took from it, I could have taken a lot of messages from it, I guess, but the message I took from it, I chose to be a positive one, which is that I can't take this, I can't take myself too seriously. I never have, and I shouldn't start now. And, you know, flowers will return, and I'll be there in the future in some way to appreciate them. And Just trying not to swallow my tongue, I guess. So I took it to be my tarot reading, those three songs. And it may sound stupid. It probably sounds stupid or ridiculous or immature or childish or like someone who's in desperate need of some kind of message and is looking for them where they don't exist. But it worked. It meant something to me and it mattered. And I really appreciated that. And then, ironically, the next song that played, which wasn't a part of this, was a song by Piebald, one of my favorite indie rock bands, maybe punk band, indie band from the 90s. A song called Grace Kelly with Wings. And I thought that that was interesting as well, because there were a lot of moments that I realized I wanted to do this podcast in very different ways. But one of the biggest was listening to that song one day, riding around, and thinking about how fun of a song it is and how much I wanted to share, how interesting I think it is and how fascinating I think the lyrics are, because they kind of take you on a journey, and about how I wish I had a way to share how much I like the song with other people because I think other people will like it. And it was one of the original seeds of the idea of doing this podcast was I want to talk about the song to other people. I need a vehicle to do that, right? And so it playing right after this little experiment was kind of like another message, like, hey, this is also important. This also mattered to you. I know you just said it's lowest on your list of priorities going forward, but this also mattered. And so I'm not prepared to talk about Grace Kelly with Wings. It's kind of a long song and there's a lot to it. And I really, in my head, I had this really fun, long way to kind of dissect it. I don't know when I'll ever be able to get to that. So I'll just say, if you get a chance to listen to that song, it's a phenomenal song. It takes you on a journey. It reminds me a lot of how Paul McCartney in the Beatles and Wings used to love to do tempo changes and to smush different songs together. And so it really takes you on sort of a sonic journey, right? And I'm not trying to oversell this song. It's just an indie rock song. But I just think there's something really charming to it. It came out in like 1999. It's very of a time. But I think, like, the lyrics, it starts off by the first lyrics are, it's much more than a dress, it's a Grace Kelly movie. And I don't know if you know who Grace Kelly is. If you're younger than me, you might not. If you are my age or older, then you know who she is. Grace Kelly was an actress in the 50s and 60s, and she was known for being like one of the most beautiful and glamorous women on earth. And she had she was a huge movie star, had huge success. She won Academy Awards, at least one Academy Award that I know of. She was in Dial M for Murder. She was in Rear Window. And she is like about as glamorous and respected and fancy, I think, as you can get. And then she fell in love with, I guess, the Prince of Monaco, right? I think that's what it was. She went to a Cannes Film Festival, and then she participated in a photo session with this guy, Prince Rainier, who was the Prince of Monaco, and they fell in love. And then she married him and she became a princess. And I think her career, I don't know, she probably continued to act for a little while after that, but I don't know how long. And then she spent the rest of her life as royalty, which it's just a wild story. And I would love to talk more about Grace Kelly someday, and maybe I will. But the point I'm trying to make is the lyrics to that song, I always loved, because it starts off with this guy talking to his partner, his lover, whoever they are. And he says, like, it's much more than a dress. It's a Grace Kelly movie, which is, I think, like such an insane compliment, like such a really powerful and beautiful compliment to tell someone, you're not just wearing a dress. You're wearing an entire movie from the most glamorous person in film at that time, right? Like, I just think it's a really sweet and really powerful compliment to give someone. And then it kind of goes into this idea. That part's just very, very sweet. And then the song kind of switches almost immediately, and they're talking about, and you can take this literally, you can take this a lot of different ways, but they're talking about a cactus that they need to take care of, and they've got to water it. The cactus needs more light. We've got to take care of it. And it's in this droney kind of almost, when I listen to it, it reminds me of the days when you were young and you were drunk or high and you're having a conversation with somebody and you feel like you just remembered something or you just had a thought that's really important and you want to hang on to that thought. Like, you know, I'm drunk and I'm forgetful and, you know, my head is full of fog and I'm cloudy and buzzy, but it's important that I hold on to this, and you just repeat stuff to you. I used to do this all the time when I was drinking, when I was heavy drinking. I would repeat shit over and over again to try to commit it to memory, and very rarely worked. And that's kind of the vibe I get from this, where they're talking about this cactus. And I think you can take it quite literally and say that he and his girlfriend or whoever she was, they really did have a cactus they were trying to take care of. Or you could say that the relationship was the cactus and that they're trying to nurture it and give it more light and more water and getting covered in pricklers the entire time. And I think that's the beauty of music in general, is that it's open to interpretation and it can mean whatever you want it to mean. It then continues in this kind of sing, like, dreamy, droning way that I really like. And at some point, it starts to build into this little crescendo where he keeps talking about the dress, and you can see my benefit from it, which I don't know if that means he's got a boner or if it's something, I don't know, more about just like how it touched his heart or whatever. But it starts to like thrum a little bit, and he's repeating himself, and he's like, and you can see my, and you can see my, and you can see my. And then it like transitions into like a heavy metal song for a little bit. And then it pops back out into this like pop punk kind of, I don't know, just fun moment where it becomes a different song. And he starts singing like in a different, like totally tonally very different. And he's like, and so my feet got cold and so I put my socks on, but now I'm back on track, just like 10-yard fight. So what if it's in my eyes? So what if it's in my eyes? So what if it's in my eyes? And if you listen to that, I don't know what you think when you hear it, but I don't really care about the socks and the feet, but what he says, now I'm back on track, just like 10-yard fight. 10-yard fight's obviously a football term. It's the name of a football video game back in the days. And then he says, so what if it's in my eyes? What he's actually saying there is, Back on Track was the name of an album by a band called 10-yard fight. There was, it's a hardcore band, straight edge hardcore band from Boston. In the 90s, there was this, in the 80s, there was this thing called the Youth Crew, which was straight edge hardcore movement. And in the 90s, there was a revival sort of it. And there were bands, 10-yard fight, which is literally a straight edge band that was football themed. And bands called Floor Punch, bands called Bane, In My Eyes was another band, and there was this like movement in the late 90s, this revival of the youth core. And this band Piebald is, like I said, like an indie rock or maybe a pop punk band, you would consider them. But we all swam in the same waters back then, right? And there was a lot of cross pollination. The scene was small enough that chances are you were in a lot of different scenes at one time because they were all, like I said, just kind of cross-pollinating. So what he's really singing now, he's just talking about he's trying to remember who put out the album Back on Track. He's like, just like 10-yard fight. And they did put out the album Back on Track. But then he's like, so what if it's in my eyes, which was a different band. And it wasn't. It was 10-yard fight. But I just think that's funny, because if you aren't familiar with hardcore music at that time in that place, and these are bands that were only around for, I think 10-yard fight was only around for 3 or 4 years, if that, you would have no idea. It would mean nothing. And I think that that's one of the fun things about music, is there's these little Easter eggs in there for the people that understand and who catch it, you know, if they catch it. So they reference In My Eyes and 10-yard fight, both great straight edge late 90s hardcore bands. I recommend, if that's your thing, you check them out. If that's your thing, you've probably already checked them out. If you're interested in what straight edge hardcore sounds like, they're a pretty good place to start. Judge is pretty good too. Maybe even go further back than that. But then it switches back, and then it finishes off as the song with the Grace Kelly lines. And it's just this like 6-7 minute journey where you go from feeling how much he is enamored by his partner to thinking about how they're trying to water and take care of this thing, whether you're taking that literally or to be their relationship, to then this breakdown. Then it goes into like a heavy metal song for a little bit, and then it goes into this breakdown. And he's just talking about some punk bands, I guess lesser known hardcore bands, and then he ties it all up by it being a love song again. Anyway, it was just a fun song, and it's interesting, and I wish that I had done a better job of explaining it to you right now. I wasn't really prepared to talk about it. I'm going off memory. I don't really have any notes or anything because, like I said, I didn't really intend to dissect it, but once I got started, I couldn't stop. I do recommend you listen to that song. Maybe listen to all the songs I talked about today, but definitely, that's a fun one. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast. So I'm glad I got to talk about it. Great band. They have another two or three songs that I would love to talk at length about that have just meant a lot to me in my life in a lot of ways. And I think are musically very clever and interesting. And so I'll probably get around to it someday in some form, whatever form this podcast takes going forward. I guess I should probably wrap this up. I will say this. There'll be something next week, so please tune in. And if you get a chance, throw some support towards the other people at Rooster Teeth that are losing their jobs and are going to be looking on how to begin the next chapters of their life. I know that they would love to hear it, and they could use it. And not just people on camera. There's a lot of really talented, hardworking people. Everybody at Rooster Teeth is talented and hardworking and deserves some well wishes and some encouragement. And I guess I'm like a solo dude now, so I gotta promote my own shit, right? Like, I've never really done that, but if you need a cameo, I got you. Look me up on Cameo. I'll say happy birthday to your grandmother, or somebody recently had me recite a poem to them. So, you know, I'll do anything within reason as long as my clothes are on. And then if you're interested in the sports card thing, ironically, a couple weeks ago, right before all this happened, I started, with a lot of help and support from my wife, started an eBay store for selling my collectible cards, because I've got so many, I need to start paring it down. And so look up Jeff Ramsey Collectibles 3. My wife spelled it Collectables. So look up Jeff Ramsey Collectables 3. I get to change that name in about 3 weeks. Takes a month, or maybe 2 weeks I have left, and then I'll change it. But I'll, you know, selling some baseball cards. Don't buy any if you're not into card collecting. Don't buy them to like throw me a bone. Just buy them if you want them and you're going to enjoy them. And then just keep on the lookout, because as we have more information about the future of Face and the future of Anma, and I have information about the future of this, we will communicate it. I will communicate it. That goes for all the other productions that you love and have loved at Rooster Teeth. There's a lot of people trying to figure out what next steps are. Nobody wants to stop doing what they're doing. This is everybody's passion, and we all want to find ways to make our passions work and to continue to provide content and get to be able to continue to provide content. So yeah, just like tune in next week. Hopefully I'll have some more information for you. Hopefully I'll have something interesting to talk about, but I definitely will be here and I'll have something to talk about. And man, fucking from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you, every one of you, for every single thing. All right.